introduce our speaker this morning and this evening. It's Brother Morton Bustard. He's been here many times, and it's just such a great honor to have him back again this weekend. Brother Bustard, would you come and preach for us this morning? God bless you, brother.
And thank you, Pastor Roy Grant. Greetings to you and your family. Greetings to Bishop Grant and his sweet wife, and to the leadership team, and to you, the saints of the Most High God. You may be seated. Let me give a heads up to the media team. We're going to take two passages this morning. The first will be Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Romans 4 and verse 17. Then I'll go over to Hebrews chapter 6, and I will read verses 13 through 18. Amen. If you're a guest at Calvary Gospel Church, would you just simply raise your hand this morning? We're going to give you a hand clap because you took the time to come. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. My wife sends her greetings. She and I are entering a new chapter in our lives. January the 13th, my birthday, my youngest child. I have two girls. The oldest is not married. The youngest is, been married for just about 2 years and 2 months. She informed us that we're going to be grandparents, and it's going to be a grandson, a kid like me. Ladies and gentlemen, some water has gone under the bridge since I first showed up in Madison, Wisconsin at Calvary Gospel Church. The state of the union of this church is very strong. Strong in living for God, putting God first, spirituality. Strong in growth, the several campuses' preaching points. Strong financially. God is blessing you on every front, in every facet. Let's give God praise for all of that. Amen. Going to take about 25 minutes this morning to preach, not because I feel the Word of God is not important. It's because we want to have a Holy Ghost pouring out service. Amen? Should the Lord allow us to meet tonight? If not, we will meet Him in the clouds of glory, and you won't need me. But if we're still here, we're asking God to move, especially in divine healing, not only for our guests, but we're going to take time to minister to a lot of the wonderful members. And Pastor Grant has explained to me that there are many of you that need a divine touch. So let's believe that this is going to be an amazing day. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. I don't want to draw too many parallels to when I preached 2 years ago on substance and evidence. But I am going to take a portion of that and put it into this message here this morning. Amen. Romans chapter 4, verse 17, speaking to Abraham, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now that doesn't sound like good English, and we'll get into the weeds on that in just a bit and find out perhaps why. Now going over to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he, Abraham, had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. He didn't attain the promise, he obtained. To attain is something you strive for on your part. To obtain is to take what is offered to you. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end to all strife. It's supposed to be that way, but it doesn't always turn out that way. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. shall we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, may faith be released in this house, the fivefold ministry, the nine gifts of the Spirit, decently and in order operated, bringing no confusion, so that people will leave saying, man does not do these things except God be with him. Amen. Now, would you lay that Bible down and give the Lord a 30-second thunderous round of applause? I don't know what it is, but there's something about God's people coming together, pushing aside all of their cares and issues and problems, and a simple hand clap. But we never let it stop at a hand clap. We bring up our voices. And we do what the scripture says, to clap our hands and to shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Just when you think it might be a mundane service, just when you're wondering what's going to happen next, you respond. And just as the clouds receive, they send forth the rain. Your praise goes up, his power comes down. We do not praise him because he has a frail ego that has to be bolstered. We praise him because he's great and greatly to be praised. Whether I'm up, down, in, out, rich, poor, sick, or healthy, he deserves my praise. Before I preach, Calvary Gospel Church, please never, ever lose the unique worship and praise that you possess. Don't ever, ever do that, please. It's such a joy to come and preach to you. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that this last presidential campaign has come to an end. But maybe it hasn't. I never knew there was so much dirt that could be thrown back and forth. Man, it's a blood sport. Both candidates from the respected parties had low unfavorability ratings, and they both lacked the trustworthiness that we would like to put in the leader of the free world. Now, that's a fact. And now we're having a crisis of truth. And to quote the passage from the Old Testament, it has fallen in the streets. But we must stand firm that it has to be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help us God. Brothers and sisters, this problem did not begin around the middle of 2015 when it really kicked off for the campaign season. This started happening a long time ago, and we really should have put the brakes on, pushed back strongly and said, enough. But I don't know, sometimes it comes as a white lie, nothing huge, a little exaggeration and prevarication, and we overlook it because it might come from the person that supports our political ideology. And because of that, we kind of give a pass. There was a day when men and women would rather die than lie. Ladies and gentlemen, many deals were sealed with a handshake. And you could go to the bank on the person's word because that's the kind of credibility they had. And it became collateral. And now it's an absolute shame. You see, I'm in my 36th year of marriage, ministry, and excluding 2 years of pastoring, I'm in my 34th year of traveling. And all these years, wonderful men and women of God, such as your bishop and your pastor, have invited me into the pulpit to preach. And if I were to suddenly let down on bearing the standard of truth, if I were to tell a lie and not instantly repent, well, why would you say it like that? Well, I hope I'd never lie. But I'm not perfect. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I have said some things I would like to unsay. As one person said, I not only have ended up with egg on my face at times, I've had to wipe off the omelet. But if I were to not repent, it will beget another lie, and pretty soon I will live a lie, and we know what the end is going to be, because now we cannot debate apostolic doctrine. It's repentance. Baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for this promise is unto you and your children, all who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Lifestyle issues, we try not to judge. We believe in modesty, in separation. We refuse to let our tenets become clubs to browbeat someone else, because you're not supposed to be holy because the world is unholy. You're supposed to be holy because God is holy. But there's no debate when it comes to the Bible when it says, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. He detests lying because Lucifer is the father of lies and the truth is not in him. But I would destroy my marriage. This wonderful brown-haired, brown-eyed gal named Marilyn who wants to come next year and we're going to check out Pastor Roy's backyard and have some good old grilled steak. And when I'm through, I will go and throw rocks at Ruth's Chris. I don't want to make that sacrifice. And then my two girls... My two girls who love me and believe in me, and I'm an example to them. I don't want to crush their faith in me. I don't want the young men and women that I mentor to lose confidence. And he cannot bring me back to Madison, because although much good perhaps has been done through many years, it will be undone because there's no excuse for not upholding the truth. So in our system of government, we have three equal branches. The founders of this great nation had great foresight and wisdom, and they knew there would have to be a system of checks and balances. Man, we don't have many after the ilk of Washington. They wanted to make him king. He refused to let them make him a monarch. We have a republic. It's for the people, by the people. Ladies and gentlemen, they work for us. We need it because words can start a war. Someone who is short-fused, hot-headed, lets something come out of their mouth and then you have to back it up. That's why power invested in an individual must be fully considered and weighed, and we must have rigorous debate, and got to have free speech. And if you want to protect free speech, you have more free speech. And you have to listen to those who don't agree with your ideology. I didn't say you had to agree. I just simply said, as Voltaire said, I may not agree with what you say, but I will fight to the death, to defend your right to say it. So, we have to hold each other accountable. But here's the deal. What if there was an entity that had all power? Authority without accountability breeds anarchy, the old saying goes. You see, I have to have checks and balances. I've always put my ministry under a ministry. I have a bishop in my life, Brother Tenney, a superintendent, Brother Cox, a pastor, Brother Mangan. I let my wife hold me accountable. There's nothing wrong with that. You can't be honest and more honest. In my little world, I don't need to have all power, but I certainly don't need to have all power when it comes to a global scale, because I might have a bad day and issue an edict, because if I had all power, you see, I trump everybody. And I just might simply say, okay, enough already, boom, and you're out of here. And then I might have to say, oops, I've thought about that after I said it. Then another saying says, better to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. What if an entity had all power so that they could simply, or they could create when they would articulate? In other words, they could think and speak it, boom, and it happened. And then they could never be held accountable because they're in a minority unlike any other, because there's not another one like them, not before, beside, or after. So, how can you have something written and have a peer review offered if you have no peers or colleagues? Now that gets scary. That gets scary. There's been cartoons about it and all this here about some superhuman superhero and doing all this here. And then, of course, you know, you have the antagonist, the protagonist. You have the one on your side. Then you have the dark figure. In your world would you trust with all power and answer to no one? I can give you one example. In North Korea, it's not 2017. It's roughly 106 or something like that, 110. You know why? Their country began when Grandpa was born. And now the grandson, Kim Jong-un, is leading the country. He's their God. They worship him as deity. And they better praise him. They better clap their hands. They better offer thanksgiving to him. Doesn't go so well if you don't. And he's got access to the nuke. And he's messing with us. And all the generals are very concerned about a thing called an EMP, electronic magnetic pulse. If they were to put over our stratosphere a dummy satellite, they could do severe damage. So honestly, I don't believe that anyone on planet Earth is worthy of 100% trust. Only Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to preach for about 10 minutes. But ladies and gentlemen, I have no hesitation. I have no second thoughts about God Almighty having all power. And there's none beside him, none before him, none after him. He doesn't have to answer to anyone. He can never be dethroned, defrocked, impeached, ousted from office. He will never be voted out. He has no opposite. The devil is not his opposite. He's in a league all by himself. And he declared the end from the beginning. And God did not begin in the beginning. That's when he spoke to nothing and created everything only from the power of his word. But he has no beginning. You cannot go back 6,000 years, 60 million years. You cannot use any kind of carbon dating to try to figure out when God came along, because he was before there was nothing. And if everything should come to an end, he'll be there. He has not aged one day. Even though he's the Ancient of Days, every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness or shadow of turning. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The reason why he never changes is because change would imply improvement. If you're God Almighty, if you know everything, you cannot improve. He doesn't need to change. He ought to stay exactly as he is. Now, I am not a psychologist, nor did I stay in a Holiday Inn Express last night, so I'm not going to pretend to be such. But I can tell you, the best indicator of future behavior is past behavior. So I trust God, because before I ever got here, he could have wiped out planet Earth. Before I ever arrived on the scene 50 plus years ago, he had ample opportunity, because his greatest creation has been messed up, jacked up more ways than you can count. account. But God said, I've declared the end from the beginning. I'm going to have a bride. I'm going to have a people. I'm going to have a church. I am not worried about how tomorrow is going to unfold because he's already in my Monday as he's presently in my Sunday, but he's also in my Saturday because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can take care of my past, take care of me today, and hold me in his hand for tomorrow. I am not worried about radicals who are part of a world religion that want to wipe out Israel. I'm not worried about North Korea. I'm not worried about Iran. And I don't know how it's going to happen. But before Jesus comes, Solomon's temple is going to be rebuilt on that mound. And I know that there's a facility there right now that's a holy place for another world religion. I don't know how. I don't know when. But you can mark it down. Before Jesus returns, that temple is going to be rebuilt, and I'm going to tell you why. First of all, the reason he can be trusted with all of the confidence you're willing to invest in him is because his essence is not love, it's perfect love. There is love and there's perfect love. Because some of you know what love is supposed to be, but it didn't work out, did it? Because they're human and they let you down. They told you you loved them. They loved you and they were willing to die for you. Matter of fact, you could live on love, but you found out. No. There's not enough love to go around in this marriage. And a friend told you they loved you, but then they stabbed you in the back. But he does not have filial love. He has agape love. It's limitless. Matter of fact, it's so high you can't get over it, low you can't get under it, wide you can't get. Who shall separate me from the love of God? Now, his love is perfect. His love never changes. Now catch this. When you were out pumping chemicals into your vein, when you were being unfaithful to your spouse, when you were out wheeling, dealing at 7 to 11 and selling them, you know, some of that crack, he loved you then the same way he loves you now, because while we were sinners, he loved us. He did not bleed and die for a church. He did that to have a church. But such were some of you and me. Give him a hand clap. Stop trying to dot the I and cross the T with the works of your flesh to get him to love you more. He cannot love you anymore, but you can please him more. Number two. You see, here's the deal. I try my best to operate in the Holy Ghost, never to embellish, to be true blue through and through and so forth, but he said, he calleth things which be not as though they were. Now, how did you really want to say that last part with your proper English? I don't hear as many double negatives around here as I hear in other places. Some places I hear triple negatives. I don't want none know how. But you've got your act together. So Madison, the capital right here of Wisconsin, educators, how did you want to say that? He calleth things which be not as though they, someone said, are. That's how we want to say it. Now, I'm not an English major. I try to articulate and to enunciate. Sometimes I get far too loquacious and I do not stick to the time that I put myself on. However, I don't believe it's just because it was old English. King James. He calleth those things which be not as though they were. Because you know why he can call things that be not as though they were? Because they are. And do you know the reason why they are? It's because they were. Because if it gets in the mind of God and comes out of the mouth of God, it is, even if it's not. came first, the chicken or the egg? Before the tree grew that became this pulpit, there was God. It was in the mind of God before it was a seed in the ground. So you know the reason why he'll never have to walk up to me and say, "Mort, you were preaching up a storm. You were exalting me to the high heavens. I became euphoric. I got ahead of my skis and made promises to you to tell Calvary Gospel Church, Mort, I know I've hung you out to dry, but I'm going to have to tell Calvary Gospel Church, I think I got a little too excited." There's an old saying, always under-promise and over-deliver, but never do the opposite. I wonder if sometimes we don't think that God may have done that because we had all these promises that God gave us, and all of a sudden we're thinking, but my family is not showing any semblance of returning to where they once were. Well, ladies and gentlemen, first of all, he can handle all authority and all power without accountability because his essence is perfect love. Number two, he calleth things which be not as though they were. You see, if I do that, you're going to say, back it up. And I'm going to say, oh man, I got to catch my flight. Because if I can't back it up, it means nothing. But this is the difference. Sometimes you and I get under pressure, the heat of the moment. We become really spontaneous, extemporaneous, and we say something and we go, what did I say? But God never does that. Because God's word will never precede his will. His word will only be spoken after he has fully, thoroughly thought it out. He has no beginning. I think he's been spending a lot of time planning. This is how I look at it. Before you were a thought, before you were in your mama's belly, before your parents knew each other, how far do you want to take this back? God saw the end and everything from A to Z, and he planned everything and he thought about it. And having all power, he thought, wow, that's going to take a miracle. But I've got all power. I will it to be. And he simply willed it. I've used this illustration before and I got to hurry up, but I'm going to do it again. David went down to the rippling brook and chose how many stones? What kind of stones? Smooth. If you know anything about geology, minerals, they are not smooth aerodynamically over 16 years, which would be about the age of David at the time. It takes decades upon decades upon decades of the rippling brook working its force over those stones to smooth them. But before Jesse's wife pushed David out of her loins, before there was a gargantuan man named Goliath, from the beginning, God saw the end, and he said, on such and such a day, he's going to face a giant named Goliath. I'm going to work today on what he's going to need in the future. Whew. When he said, by his stripes you were healed, he didn't make a mistake. You don't have to amend, abrogate, adjust, tweak, edit his word. It is ever settled in heaven. Father, let your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. when he said, I've given you a promise that your seed shall not perish. They might be out there living in absolute darkness, but I've got news for you. That front they're putting on to you, that contrary spirit, they know you're praying for them. And it irks them when they say, when you say, why don't you come to church? Brother Buster's here today. And they snarl and gnarl and get up in your face as if they, what you don't know is probably last night they laid in bed and said, I know I'm not doing right, but if you'll give me one more chance. And some are going to work from God from dawn till dusk to midnight. But some are going to come at the midnight hour. Because I've got news for you. They're going to do the will of God one way or the other. Either they're going to come and step onto the pier, or they're going to be belched onto the beach and wipe off the slime and the seaweed and say, I'm where I'm supposed to be. I call your family out of the sepulcher. I call your sons and your daughters up. I have a word from God. I speak to that marriage right now. That marriage doesn't have to dissolve. That marriage doesn't have to become another number. Those kids don't have to be caught in the crossfire. I'm calling your marriage back.